From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled Sin Exposed and Expunged, part of this series of studies in the book of Joshua. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Even the Faintest Call. The text is Joel chapter 2 and verse 32. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Why do I not call on His name? Why do I run to this neighbor and that, when God is so near and will hear my faintest call? Why do I sit down and devise schemes and invent plans? Why not at once roll myself and my burden upon the Lord? Straightforward is the best runner. Why do I not run at once to the living God? In vain shall I look for deliverance anywhere else, but with God I shall find it, for here I have His royal shall to make it sure. I need not ask whether I may call on Him or not. For that word, whosoever, is a very wide and comprehensive one. Whosoever means me, for it means anybody and everybody who calls upon God. I will therefore follow the leading of the text, and at once call upon the glorious Lord who has made so large a promise. My case is urgent, and I do not see how I am to be delivered. But this is no business of mine. He who makes the promise will find out ways and means of keeping it. It is mine to obey His commands. It is not mine to direct His counsels. I am His servant, not His solicitor. I call upon Him, and He will deliver me.
Thank you.
In these troublesome times for our nation, many people are looking to the government or to social action for a solution. But the only real answer to the human predicament is a true spiritual revival. Many Christians have no idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense. Certainly the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity, ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of both Duncan Campbell's account of what happened during those revival times on Lewis, as well as a CD containing personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. The CDs are available to you free of charge, simply by requesting your copies. You may write us at LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may telephone us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. Just request your copies of the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. Text for this message is Joshua chapter 9, verses 16 through 27, where, having heard of Israel's victories at Jericho and Ai, the Gibeonites came to Joshua with a false story that they were from a far country. Neglecting to ask for the Lord's guidance, Joshua and the elders of Israel entered into a league with these people. 3 days later, the Israelites discovered that the Gibeonites were but another Canaanite tribe living right near them. Reluctant to break his oath to them, Joshua made them slaves to Israel from that day forward. The Bible is emphatic that God sees everything in our lives and that he must judge sin. Often, the fear of discovery is the worst part of a secret sin, whether it be in the life of a lost person or of a Christian. Both the Gibeonites and the children of Israel found this to be true. As we'll see, early exposure of sin is a sign of God's grace. For the longer sin remains hidden, the harder the heart becomes. As the writer of Proverbs said, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." Now to continue this message, Sin Exposed and Expunged, here is Dr. Cairns.
Then there are others who suffer as the Israelites did, without any great apparent traumas in their lives because of their sin. Yet sin is working insidiously against them, hurtfully, and hardening their hearts against God. I often think of that terrible 8th chapter of the prophecy of Ezekiel. Ezekiel was taken by the Lord in the vision, and what he calls the visions of God, to Jerusalem. The Lord let him see inside the city. And then he let him see inside the temple. And this is what you find. He saw sin hidden. God says, go a little further, and you'll see deeper sin, more deeply hidden. There's that awful statement, really. We could take it right out of the context, and we could think of this in a very topical way. He said, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery. Originally, that was speaking of chambers of idolatry. But the English there is very suggestive. God says, do you see what people are doing in the hidden places, in the chambers of their own imaginings, in the chambers of their own imagery, in the chambers where they think they are far from human view? Do you see what they are doing? For they say, the Lord seeth us not. The Lord seeth us not. The Lord hath forsaken the earth. That is, God is no longer judging. If ever He judged the world, He's not doing it anymore. If these Old Testament stories are true of God intervening with judgment against people and cities and states and nations because of their sin, it's not true anymore. You look at what is happening in the nations of the world. You look at the great cities of filth and wickedness. And where is the judgment of God? Oh, how many people have that kind of sin? It just hardens their heart. Makes them think that God has forgotten to judge. I tell you, my friend, they have come to altogether wrong conclusions. God still does judge. I was reading in the Gospel of John last night, and I was noting the name, the mention of the town of Tiberias. When you go to the Sea of Galilee today, you go to the city of Tiberias. If you ever do a tour to Israel, it's quite possible that Tiberias would be the town you would stay in the northern part of your journey. Did you ever stop to think Tiberias is a town into which, according to the gospel narrative, the Lord Jesus Christ did not enter? It's mentioned in connection with the Sea of Tiberias, the lake, but we're never told that Christ ever went in to minister in Tiberias. Every city in which He did minister has been wiped out of existence. Every one of them. You cannot find Cana. You cannot find Capernaum except in restored relics that the archaeologists have brought forth. You cannot find Bethsaida. Why? Because God's judgment fell upon them. Don't jump to hasty conclusions like these people, that God does not see, that God hath forsaken the earth, that His judgments no longer are in operation. If you're thinking that way, that is purely and simply the insidious, lying poison of sin within your mind. Oh, sin is always a deadly evil. That's why David prayed in the 19th Psalm, "Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins." We would do well to pray that today. Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins, because even when it lies hidden from human view, sin is working its deadly evil. But second, let me note from this passage that quick exposure of sin is often a mark of great grace. The quick exposure of sin is frequently a token of the goodness and the kindness of our God. In the text we have taken this morning, it was only 3 days before the sin of the Gibeonites and the Israelites came to light. What a mercy that was. For it kept the perpetrators from becoming hardened in their sin. Remember the words of Ezekiel 8:11? "Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of man is fully set in them to do evil." The Lord stopped the hardening process in the hearts of both these peoples by bringing their sin to exposure. In exposing and dealing with the Gibeonite sin, the Lord showed especially great mercy, for He brought them near to Him and to His altar. You know what that means? It means the message is one of forgiveness. When God brought their sin out into the open, it was to forgive it. Oh, I know it says they were made slaves, but hey, that happens every time God saves a man. God doesn't save you to do anything else with you but make you a slave of Jesus Christ. That's the highest honor you can have in the world. You see, you have to be somebody's slave. You're either Satan's slave or the Savior's slave. Up until now, these people had been slaves of evil deities and demons. They'd been slaves of their own lust and their own wickedness. Oh, they were made slaves of the house of God. But as I've indicated, has the world ever seen slavery like this? There they stood in possession of all their cities. They still tilled their land. They still reaped the benefits of their labor. By any other standards, this was the utmost freedom. Never a conquering nation ever dealt with a conquered people like this. God brought them near to Himself. It was a glorious token of grace and of forgiveness. You know, my friend, that's what God does when by His law He comes to you to expose your sin. When God by His Spirit comes to plow up your heart and to touch your conscience. When the Lord brings to you the knowledge of your guilt and the feeling of your shame, and when He threatens you with the awful torment of His judgment, it is in mercy that He does it. It's in grace. Because, as Paul told the people in Antioch, in Acts chapter 13, the Pisidian Antioch, he says in verse 38, "Through this man," that is through the Lord Jesus Christ, "is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." That's the message God has given through His Word to His people to take out to the world. That's the message that God has for you this morning. We have been reading a passage about the Incarnation. What is the message of it? "To you through this man is preached the forgiveness of sins." What's the message of the cross? "To you, through this crucified Christ, is preached the forgiveness of sins." God comes to you to expose your sin. It is not that you should wallow in a sense of your sin, but it is that you should go to the cross and get cleansing from that sin. For the law is our schoolmaster to lead us unto Christ. Oh, what mercy God showed to the Gibeonites. You know, as I thought of that, I noted one thing particularly. I said it was good for these people to seek peace with Israel. It was good for these people to believe the reports about the Lord, the God of Israel, and to seek to escape His wrath. That was good. It was wrong to go about their purpose as they did. And yet God pardoned even that. As I pondered that, there was to me a very sweet thought, a very important thought, that God pardons the very sin that attends our coming to Him. Now let me repeat that. God pardons the very sin that attends our coming to Him. How many people labor over this? They feel like the Gibeonites. Well, it is good that I want to be saved. It is good that I come to the Lord. It is good that I pray the sinner's prayer. It is good that I would sue for peace through Christ. But oh, what sin attends my coming. How false I am, even in my truest moments. How full of unbelief, even when I'm seeking to exercise faith. And I think to some extent every person who is a Christian must feel that. Every person who wants to be a Christian must feel that. I can well remember in my own experience how that very thought was such a detriment in my life. And it seemed to put away forever the very hope of ever being at peace with God. How can I pray when in my believing I am still so touched with unbelief? My faith is so tainted with lack of faith. My repentance is so imperfect. I want you to understand this. If you're going to wait to repent until you can perfectly repent, you'll go to hell. Because you can do nothing perfectly. If you're going to wait until you have perfect faith before you believe into the saving of your soul, you will perish in the lake of fire forever. Now, I'm being very blunt with you. This is not an unimportant subject. You need to see the truth. Why do I put it this way? For a very simple reason. Absolutely vital that you learn that it's not the strength of your faith that saves you. It is not the depth of your repentance that saves you. It is the one in whom your faith resides who saves you. Faith, like a grain of mustard seed, is just as much saving faith as faith that would be like a full-grown oak. It is not the amount of faith that saves you. It is the Christ in whom that faith resides who saves you.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.